Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 93 and season 5. And now, another design studio conversation about presentation design and the business of running a design studio. Here are the show hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay, we are first episode of the year. You guys ready? What's happening in studios as you kick off the year?
Well, we can talk about some plans and things going on. Also, maybe resolutions or what we're hoping for. What our plans for 2020? My word for 2020 is peaceful. I say that.
Wait. This is the man coming with twins to the table, right?
Well, you might hear one of them in the background who is refusing to nap right now. So hopefully you can take that out in post. I'm gonna try to make every day as peaceful and calm as possible. And hopefully by the end of the podcast, two and a half. Hopefully by the end of the podcast recording, they will have gone to sleep. We'll see.
So what's happening on the business side, Nolan?
Business front, on the training front, we've got some goals to overhaul and implement a few things here, including some restructured training modules and training surveys, just trying to get closer to my forever goal of providing real actionable content to trainees, not just that pie in the sky philosophical stuff. So which we do a tiny bit of, but we're really proud of being very actionable and you know, you can take this stuff right back to your desk. So so we're incorporating some new, you know, PowerPoint features and things like that, training on that. On the design front, I probably shouldn't announce this, but I plan on not only significantly updating the website at some point in the year, but also finally finishing a project that I started a few years ago. I'm not sure either of you even know about it. It's not a book, but it's in that neighborhood. So stay tuned. I might tell Troy to cut this out after, but no, that will give me the kick in the butt to finish it this year.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. See, I won't announce my book outlines because they just, you know, dare we get TLC Creative Christmas card? I'm very excited about it because we're getting fun feedback on it. And that was a big collaborative process among the whole design team. So that was
PowerPoint Mad Libs card,
but right? Better because, you know, Mad Libs has a horrible design aesthetic, which is part of their appeal. And yeah, we made it very PowerPoint oriented. It was fun. I just had a team meeting with our team today. It's our first team meeting. We kind of talk about, you know, the goals for the year, this and that. And also we look at the calendar. Our entire year is almost booked out with projects. So lots of PowerPoint, lots of travel is guaranteed this year. So I don't know if that's a goal or a resolution, but because it's guaranteed to happen. What will not happen this year, so this is a resolution to not happen, is we're not going to buy new computers. Our show computer fleet is under a year old. It will sustain us through this year. And the accountant said, you bought a lot of stuff last year, and like a lot. I was like, well, you know, 38 computers, no big deal, right? Anyways, I splurged, but I did splurge right before the end of the year, and I did upgrade my design computer on Black Friday. So I'm good for the year as well. the other computer was literally purchased on Black Friday the year before. So, but it was just such a good deal. Had to upgrade it. Sandy, what's happening?
We just spent, really, it was just a couple of days. We are a big Disney family. We go as often as we can. And so once you have the parks memorized, you know, you get through them pretty quickly. But we spent, it was just awesome. We lucked into getting into Belle's castle, you know, from Beauty and the Beast. It was perfect. We went to the Animal Kingdom where we saw Pandora. We did not make the, oh my gosh, this is terrible, I'm having a mental block, the new Star Wars exhibit that's at Hollywood Studios. We didn't make it to that. We had to prioritize. But it was just really, really fun. Our granddaughters are so fun to travel with. Nolan, someday it will happen.
Someday.
I promise. Definitely. I promise. Okay. And we plan on a lot more personal travel in 2020. That's one of our goals for the next year or two. So we'll be in Europe quite a bit. And then I'll be I plan on volunteer travel. I already booked a delivery of a presentation in Louisville on January 18. It's a global event called, it's called the Global Diversity Call for Papers Day. And what it is it's an effort by a woman to help disadvantaged people, people who are often overlooked when it comes to being presenters at different events. She helps people get ready with training on call for papers, on presenting. And she's got this going on in, I don't know, 50 cities around the world on that day. So I chose to participate in the one in Louisville.
Very cool.
I don't know. I haven't been to Louisville for any reason other than to drive through it. So I'm going to present there. So anyone, hey, if you're in the area, join me.
Very cool.
Let's see. What else? Okay. I wanted to, you know, you're familiar with Jude Barak?
Yes.
She's Jude. Presentation expert from Israel. I believe she's from Israel. She started the Presentations Design Magazine, where she curates and publishes industry design information on a regular basis. And I would just encourage everyone to follow her on Twitter. You'll be able to find her. Just type in her name. It's a, magazine.
Well, this is news to me. So when you say magazine, this is that. It's a website. What's...
Well, I think you've seen similar. It's a program that curates digitally information within categories.
Huh.
So once you follow her on Twitter, that's how I did it.
Okay, we're going to find an answer for those of us that don't Twitter.
I can forward you the email. How's that?
I don't know about this. So this is new. Well, this is great.
I do follow Jude. I guess the next thing we have to deal with is Twitter's algorithms that don't show me her stuff, but I will take a look.
Frustrating. Exactly.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I'm gonna look into it. Presentation designs.
It's very fascinating.
Okay.
Also, we received a note from a listener, John Waters, who says, and it's just a nice, pleasant little note that says, "I really like the presentation podcast. I think it's one of the few really good resources for presentation designers, and I've gotten a ton of very useful information from it. Thank you."
Well, thank you, John.
Thank you, John, for letting us know.
And some news, I think. A big thing from Microsoft is the launch of export from PowerPoint as animated GIF. And you gave that to me to see if I would say GIF or GIF, right?
I would say GIF, but you know, hey.
GIF, whatever.
Yeah, GIF is a peanut butter.
I think it's wrong, but I think GIF is
GIF. I think it is GIF because it's graphics, right? Isn't that what the G stands for? Graphics? Something?
Yes, graphics.
Okay, great. I go back and forth all the time. Anyway, so it's supposed to be on Insider Fast. I have actually not investigated it yet, so I'm not even sure if I have it.
Oh, have you, Sandy?
I have investigated it. It's supposed to be on Insider Fast, but I don't have Insider Fast on my work computer, and I have it. I was able to export as GIF.
Oh, you were? Okay, yeah.
GIF.
Nice. GIFs.
Yeah, so we have one computer that has Insider Fast because that's the non-corporate one. I guess there's like a hack in Windows to make it available, but I don't want to hack any of our main computers. So we have one computer we keep available on the personal edition, Office 365 home and personal. Anyways, we've got it and it's pretty cool. Basically the exact same interface as exporting a video. We did a number of them. One of our designers in the office, in the studio, created four or five of them for us just to kind of look at it. You know, what's really interesting is we took one of them that was actually a project. We created a bunch of, blanking on the word to use here. We created a bunch of cinemagraphs. Cinemagraphs. You know, where it's a static picture, but just one portion of it is a video element. So for one of the projects, we actually used PowerPoint as our authoring tool. We did some Photoshop work, we used PowerPoint to actually export the cinemagraphs because it was a lot faster and easier than doing it in video editing world. Well, we had those and we just completed them a week or two earlier. So he took those exact same ones and exported them as a GIF, not peanut butter, not a GIF. but it was really cool to see the file size difference and the image quality because GIF has a limited color palette and they worked great. I mean, they definitely were more, you know, they weren't as nice as the videos, I'd say, but the file size was right in there. I'm going to have a blog post series in February. So this month is all taken up with text treatment stuff, but I'm going to throw some samples on the blog post. It looks like a cool addition.
And so it will export multiple slides just like a video, right? But if you
it will,
and
it
really just like a video, it captures the animation.
Transitions, yeah.
Transitions, exactly.
For social media, you know, where the ones where it's like, you know, an image slides across and a new little quote shows up and an image slides across. Mm-hmm. One of the samples that we did was I think six images, and you know, each one had a little statement on it, and it was the slide transition that created the motion or the animation portions of it. It worked really good. I mean, it actually was a lot faster than using other tools in for certain types of animated GIFs. There's a lot of requests.
A while ago, I had recommended that Canva be used to create GIFs.
Yes, they do it well. Now Canva has that built-in advantage of having all the pictures, and you know, they have a whole library of stuff to kind of put in their custom fonts that actually work.
Right, right. There is that pretty design element that PowerPoint doesn't provide. Yep. But
it's a new feature. It's a new feature.
It's awesome.
I think that's, yeah. Are we gonna announce this? We're gonna do a 2020 trends podcast. We've been making all of our notes. It won't be the next episode because we've already got that one locked in. But and that's one of my notes there, is that there's just gonna be a continuation of new updates and releases throughout the year that we have to kind of be prepared for or get used to.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is a cool one. Yeah, Nolan, when you get it, you'll like it. I mean, it'll be used a lot.
Can't wait to play with it. Not sure when it's coming to the Mac, as always, but
I'll play with it. There's another one we should find out about now. Okay, well, officially welcome to 2020. Everyone has New Year's resolutions, big plans, huge projects, and ready for success in every venture. As our first conversation of the new year, I'm really excited that we're kicking off another year. We decided to talk about investing in our design businesses. What are the important software, hardware, and services to include in our annual budgets? What training? What are important considerations in deciding what is important for your business? And everyone should not skimp on, or you know, those things that you shouldn't skimp on when it comes to being productive for design projects. So with that, let's just kind of kick off a conversation talking all about New Year's resolutions and investing in our business.
So let's start with the big elephant in the room. How much money, or what do you have to spend money on to be a presentation designer? And there are some obvious things, a computer and software, for example. So if we jump back to, was it episode 82 from August of last year, where we had a full conversation about the details of what software, what computers, and what gadgets we own. So today we're going to divide our conversation today into categories: training, travel, office workspace, technology, something like that, and with our computer systems and installed software.
Cool. All right. Well, let's start with training. Yeah. Let's talk about training. So I'm always trying to convince my clients to invest in training, obviously. but are we being hypocritical? Do I invest in training? What are the options out there for training? I mean, the biggest thing that I go to every year is the presentation summit we all go to, right? Now, of course, mm-hmm. we speak there as well, right? So, you know, yes, it's still, you know, we are slightly, I think we can say that, slightly compensated for our work there. But
I thought you say we're slightly biased.
It's a volunteer effort on my part.
At the end of the day, it's still an investment of time and additional money to go for the 3 or 4 days. And so, look, if I wasn't speaking, I would absolutely be an attendee anyway, because I get so much out of that. That's my one big, training thing a year.
Presentation summit is a hands down for if somebody's looking to up their level of presentation skill, I think the presentation summit's it. It does cost. It's an investment, a budget item. Mm-hmm. But if you compare it to like Adobe Max, awesome, fantastic. Little disappointed this year. Our calendars don't align. We have other projects that overlap it, so I'm not going to be attending. But
Troy,
if you want to look at, yes.
How much does it cost? I'm just curious.
Adobe Max or Adobe the Presentation Max. Summit? Adobe Max is like, oh, I'm going to throw this out there and I'm going to probably be wrong, but I think it's about $2,500 for a
So it's
pass.
More than Summit.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's, it was, 17, it's a little longer too, though.
17? Oh, it is. Okay. It
yeah. And the sessions are a little bit, I don't want to describe Adobe Max sessions. A lot of them are informative versus, you know, a lot of it's just learning what's available and what's possible. Some of the presentations are phenomenal about saying, well, first of all, Adobe covers such a wide gamut. I mean, you know, there's just things you don't even know are an interest point. So a lot of it's informational about things you can do, like the Adobe XD stuff, which I've never utilized, was mind-bendingly crazy what you can accomplish in that program. It's still not a part of my workflow, but I got a little bit of knowledge about it. It's pretty big. Presentation Summit, I think, is probably one of the best values for an actual attending event. There's the Presentations Online Conference that is, why am I blanking out here? Done by Presentation Point. They've done that now. I think this is their second year, third year. I know it's their second year. And that's got a lot of great information, a lot of top speakers. Mm-hmm. I spoke at it 2 years ago and it's just an online one. What other types of events do you go to?
Well, I think, I mean, I would say, you know, if you can only go to one in person, that's the Presentation Summit. The you know, sort of competitor as of, you know, 2 years ago to that is now the Click Conference. That's it's smaller. That's run by Creative Pro Week. I spoke there last year. I'll be speaking there again this year. It's more Adobe centric. It's a whole week of Adobe, like Adobe Max. Very tutorial, very technically centered, but the last 2 days are now presentation focused. So again, very different. I think it's still they're trying to be a little more tutorial based, more technical based, where the Presentation Summit gets into, you know, into that, but a whole lot more. So that's the Click Conference, and which is part of Creative Pro Week.
It's going to be in Texas this year, right? 2020. It's in Texas, which
it'll,
I think is pretty.
It'll
funny
be in Austin.
Presentation Summit was in Texas last year. Right. Just a thing.
And Presentation Summit will be in Seattle.
We're switching because I think the Presentation Summit's in Seattle this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
AIG events. AIGA events. They have, they're around the country, but they put on a number of conferences. There's one national conference, but then a lot of the regions put on their own conferences. So Lori and I have attended, we're from San Diego. We attend the San Diego Y conference, just the letter Y, as in why design or why things are great. Every year they have a little spinoff on that theme. And we've attended that for a number of years. Love that event. It is a great conference. People travel in from out of state. It's not just regional only. It's 3 days. Oh boy. Now I've got to remember. Is it 2 or 3 days? And it's 300 people maybe, but it's great. It's just good all around stuff. But I know they have other conferences that are phenomenal. So there's another option for if you're looking for a conference to attend that's design based.
Okay. Well, of course, I'm a little biased here, but I think another great resource, which is like Presentation Summit, but any day or every day, I should say, is the Presentation Guild. Nolan, you and Troy, you've both been part of the Inspired by Design effort with Julie, who started that. And now, Nolan, you're giving more of the content presentation these days, aren't you?
Yeah, I think Julie Terberg and I are kind of switching off now month to month. One plays host 1 month and the other delivers it and we go back and forth. So that's another investment we make. That's a virtual thing right now. It's mostly virtual. That's an absolute investment that, you know, there's Slack channels and web, there's a lot of web resources and job boards and
book
message
clubs.
Boards and all book clubs, yeah. Lots mm-hmm. and lots of stuff. So that's absolutely an educational
and it's, I think it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
We've spent the last several years really just getting the foundation together. And I think with Echo now focusing on training and content, you're going to see a lot more good training training materials.
Yeah. Does anyone use like any online things like LinkedIn?
I was actually going to mention that one. As far as in the training realm, I think LinkedIn Learning, which is formerly lynda.com, we actually had a lynda.com account for several years and it just transitioned into LinkedIn Learning. We have that as an online resource. A lot of the designers will use it in our in our office, in our studio, for catching up on new things, you know, things are not, I shouldn't say new to us, like a newer design element to them that they're not familiar with. But I think that's another great thing. It is an actual paid subscription item add-on. It's not just part of your LinkedIn account, but tons of great articles, lots of designers. I think it's a good investment. It's a lot better than, well, LinkedIn in general, I find on the training and information business side is better than just Facebook. Maybe that's personal, but yeah. You know, so I'm on LinkedIn for a lot of articles.
No, I think you've nailed it.
It's probably a matter of who you're, you know, what groups and people you connect to, because that kind of curates what you're going to see. But that's where I get a real feel for what's happening in the presentation industry. And then an add on to that is the LinkedIn Learning, which is kind of a separate channel for them, but it's all under the same.
What about any sort of books, magazines, online journals? We were talking about Jude Barak's thing. Do you subscribe to anything?
Well, I'm a magazine junkie. It's that's Lori's word for it. You know, Wired, Business 2.0, Fast Company, Video Maker, Maximum PC. I mean, there are many. I get them all delivered here. I eventually get through them all. That's what my airplane flights are for, is, you know, one magazine per flight is my goal. Sitting backstage, you know, you should not be working on other clients' projects while you're working for a client at their office or their backstage. So I read a lot. And books are a little bit harder because you get kind of engrossed in a book, especially if it's a storyline one. So I read a lot of magazines. So yeah, I'm going to go with not as many books, but a ton of magazine subscriptions. And I get a lot of information. I'm constantly also that person that pulls out the articles and then I'll leave the magazine behind. So if you read the magazine after me, it's probably missing the two or three best articles in it. But hey, what other magazines are there that I'm not thinking of?
Well, I love Communication Arts. Are you familiar with that? It's just,
yeah, that's an oldie, but a goodie.
Right? It's an oldie. I get it because it's so beautiful. It's like the best coffee table book. But what's really cool also is that it's now available in PDF. So when you subscribe, you get not only get the hard copy, which looks great on your shelf, but the PDF, which makes it easy to tear out sheets, pages.
Actually, I didn't know, you know, that's one of the few magazines I don't rip everything out of. We actually have the whole, like, we keep the whole year's worth. Not that it's not a monthly magazine. It comes out six times a year, I think. It doesn't come out as often as, anyways, we keep all those. I'm not allowed to rip things out of it because all the design team likes to look through those for inspiration.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, like I said, it's kind of decorative. I ended up giving my entire collection to an aspiring graphic designer. I know, but that's okay. I have the PDFs.
Interesting. Nolan?
Well, speaking of PDFs and journals, I don't subscribe to too much, but I did resubscribe this year to InDesign magazine. That's run by the Creative Pro people who are behind the Click Conference. And actually today, the January issue came out with an article that I wrote.
Really?
So that is, so that's the first article I've written for the magazine. I subscribe to it, but I guess I also write for it. It's on.
Have you tweeted it?
I did this morning. It's on how to make accessible charts in InDesign and with output to PDF. So there are a lot of considerations, and I give a couple of hacks that I use to make things easily accessible. Unfortunately, it is behind a firewall. You do have to pay for it.
I was going to ask that.
So.
Okay.
I might talk about, I mean, if anybody's interested, I'm happy to talk about the techniques, but they're really, really just for InDesign.
And that's an online only subscription, right? Publication. I don't know.
It is. They used to, I don't know if they ever actually had a physical, but they actually, I don't know if they still do. They used to provide a PDF that you could, maybe it was in spreads, you could print it out and sort of bind it at home. But now it's really just a digital PDF. But it still looks like a magazine. It's
layouts in magazine, you know, format.
In design used to, it's layout. Yeah, it's really well done, and there's always a lot of good stuff in there. I have subscriptions to the New York Times, Washington Post, Medium. I just subscribed to. So I occasionally get some stuff for business out of those things, and so that's what I tell the IRS. that's why I subscribe to those.
You know, on that line, I will throw one more in there for training. I guess it's a shameless plug, but the PowerPoint blog, my blog, has been going for since 2006, actually. and tons and tons of tutorials in there. Like this month, it's all about text treatments in stylized text treatments in PowerPoint. And most of them have downloadable files, so you can, you know, kind of backwards engineer or just steal them. But I do a lot there. Let's transition. Okay, so training should have a line item in there in that budget, should do some stuff. Another topic, mm-hmm. what did we say was second?
Travel.
Office workspace. Oh, travel.
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 Yeah.
Well, I guess that kind of goes along with training a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have a travel budget?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not really good with budgets in general, like personal or business. And I just never did that. I mean, other than the trainings we discussed or the conferences we just discussed, I don't do a whole lot of travel for sort of the business other than, you know, to go to clients. A couple of years ago, I went to this this communications conference hoping to get some clients out of it. And it just didn't work for me. So that was, you know, an investment that I don't see myself making again anytime soon.
I look at the investment part only in regard to contributions to the technical community, that is our MVP contributions, because I just think the whole idea of spending money to attend conferences to get business is just not an efficient way.
I agree.
Business.
We and I don't we count attend on events for us. We don't attend events for networking is different than
exactly.
client acquisition. We don't get clients through. Right. It's not. It's a side. What do I want to say? It's a side benefit, but it's not even really. It's a side happen chance if we get a client out of a conference we're attending, because that's not really our goal. Mm-hmm. But we actually do have a line item for some things. We know that we're going to have expenses for attending the MVP summit at Microsoft. If I'm invited, I'm there.
Right.
So we actually have that in our annual plan. The presentation summit is in our annual plan.
Yes.
The AIGA, as I mentioned, the San Diego Design Conference, that's actually in our annual plan. So it does two things. One, it says we're going to put money into this, but two, we block out those dates and we don't say yes to other projects, because any date I say I'm available, I would be working. So we have to block them out way ahead of time. And I know I'm forgetting another one. Well, these are all covered by our TLC Creative. There's a line item in there for I think it doesn't go under travel, but it does go under training and education as far as budget goes. Mm-hmm. But yes, we travel to those events. It would take a lot to get me to travel to an event, because I just like staying home, to be honest. I'm on the road far too much. But I think that all three of us actually have, you know, budgeted and time allocations for a few events per year. We may not formalize it, Nolan.
You're right.
Agreed.
Transition. Agreed. How about that office and workspace you mentioned? Graphic design in general, I it's become portable. I think it's possible to work entirely remote. You know, laptops are under 3 pounds. Cell phones are basically mini computers, as well as an internet hotspot. Design software you can get on you can do a subscription. It's really, really economical and cheap to become a designer now, as opposed to what it would be. But I still think you should have a formal workspace and office space. I mean, the IRS needs it if you want to claim it. But so what quick description of your workspace? Like, what do you have is like, this is where I go work?
Well, I mean, I have a home office. But you know what you were saying about, I mean, yes, you can travel and work anywhere. And I have my 13-inch MacBook Air, which I love and I use it all the time when I travel, is fantastic. But I feel like I could never do my work without my 27-inch setup. You know, my two screens, bought a new iMac, 25K, 27-inch. I don't understand those people who work on these little laptops and that's their only computer.
Phone. I cannot work. It's hard for me to answer emails. I do, because it's necessary, but I have a really hard time. My brain just doesn't want to be in the business mindset when I'm not sitting at my desk.
Yeah, I need a keyboard. I need like a full size keyboard and a big monitor. So yeah, so I've described my setup before in my home office. It's the entire third floor of my 1929 Tudor house. It has these amazing angles all over the place. The walls are mostly orange. And I've got a huge desk. I've got this 10-foot sort of live wood edge desk where I just spread out and all my computers. Right now,
It's like I have far too many computers on my desk. Table.
A little bit. So big. It is. And I like it. But I still try to keep it clean, try to keep it minimal if I can. And I'm sitting in my human scale chair, which I really like. So that was a nice investment. But yeah, that's my setup. I won't bore you with all the other details, which I'm sure we've talked about.
What color chair did you get? Because human scale comes in like options.
Yeah, black. You know, just hard to match oranges. I have an orange file cabinet, but no black chair. Of course I do.
Of course. Okay, so on the office workspace, I travel pretty much nonstop, but I am carrying a bit more than the remote coffee shop designer everyone is probably envisioning from this whole topic. I really like having a desk, like you said, Nolan, or in the case of ballrooms and conferences, a table to just spread out on and feel like I have a home base for that week. For home office and our studio, both are IKEA desks, those Gallant modular desks. So they're big wraparound ones, wonderfully huge desktop space to spread out on. I also have a really good quality chair. It's not the human scale. We have Herman Miller Aaron chairs. So, you know, they're just crazy adjustable and really good to be in if you're in them all day long. I'm not really a big fan of the whole standing thing, stand-up desk. So that's not my ticket, but yeah, the top good quality chair. So Laura and I both have those mesh-backed chairs. But what I am really big on, and maybe this is because I work in dark ballrooms all the time, I'm really big on having great lighting. You know, I like there to be light everywhere, not just a single lamp. And there are some pretty cool ones out there, but we built out our design studio. It had those standard, you know, fluorescent tube light enclosures, you know, with the plastic little long 4 foot long things. We had all those removed, and I actually had a crazy number of recessed can lighting added, just rows and rows of them. There are no shadows or harsh light sources throughout the studio. And you can lean over somebody to, you know, talk about notes and stuff. And there's not really much of a shadow cast at all. Nothing harsh. So I am big on that. And then for travel, I also do bring my own lights with me because I just, you know, I'm in the dark, but.
You bring your own recessed ceiling lights that you have installed each time?
Yeah. I have these awesome USB lights, and one of them's a little bit bigger than most people would travel with, but I can change the color temperature. Oh my God. It clamps on. It's fantastic.
If you would ever lower yourself to use a lowly floor standing lamp, I have two of them, which I've talked about before, but I just bought another one because we moved one downstairs. They're called Trond, T-R-O-N-D.
Oh, I remember that.
And yeah. They are amazing. They reflect light up, and they're not like your old college sort of torchier lamps. They're fantastic. I love them. Ah. And they put together in a couple minutes, and adjustable and dimmable and really nice, all LED. So I have one on each side of me right now.
Let's switch to Sandy and talk elegance.
Well, I wouldn't say
Sandy brings elegance to the show, always.
I'm constantly tweaking my office, and this past year, and maybe even for 2 years, I focus more on the aesthetic of the office rather than my technology. So completely redecorated it. It's kind of a, I don't know, French sounds so styled, but it's more relaxed than that. And it's not, you know, that trendy farmhouse look, but it's just soft and comfortable, and I don't fall asleep in it, but I do definitely have the opportunity to relax. I have great windows. I get to look out all the time. I love my office. When I redecorated it, I landed on this cool artist photographer named Jamie Hayden. And she, in post-production, does this. How can I describe her work? What's the artist? Wyeth?
Andrew Wyeth?
Yep. Yes, exactly. Thanks. In post-production, her photography ends up looking like a Wyeth painting. So I've decorated my office with her work, and it's just, it's joyful. It's happy. Makes me want to be in here.
Well, I think that's important. I was excited to get back to my office after the holiday break.
Exactly. You know, same here. I do have, and I have had the same chair for several years now. I have a Herman Miller chair.
Are you sure it's genuine? Because if it says Herman Millen on it, it might be a knockoff.
It could be from China. Yeah, but that's my office.
What else should we talk about here? So anyways, we all have formal offices. We don't just hang out in Starbucks with our 13-inch MacBook and try and design everything on one small screen. There is an investment there, and I do recommend lighting, and I do recommend chairs.
Good one. Good. Okay, so how about, well, we talked about magazines, but what about other subscriptions, well, probably digital, and resources? I ask this because there's an expectation for us to provide images, video, and audio as a part of our design services. So there's obviously a huge difference between the person at a company grabbing free images from Google and us providing royalty-free, legal-to-use assets. Do you budget for this? I guess it doesn't have to be, but let's talk about that.
You know, I have a side conversation. I think we should have a conversation. I'm putting this out there as maybe a future conversation. We just had a big internal talk. One of our master services agreements with a new client, we have a big notation where we do not supply images for them. So much to what you're just saying there. And because the contract we had to sign, our agreement says that they, the corporation, own everything we give them. That's okay. But it also says that anything we give them, we are providing them with worldwide global IP rights to it. In other words, if we give them a stock image, they own that image. And we can't
just went through
that.
This, Troy, with a client. And I'm in the middle of them, their lawyers coming back to me because I saw that clause. And I said, as you said, it's like, I can give you my work. I can't license a third party to you.
Future topic. I think it's a good conversation and not providing the legal expertise, but maybe awareness that, hey, you could, well, it's a big consideration.
Yeah. I think it's just lawyers not understanding how the world works as always. Go on. Yeah.
Design resources, subscriptions. Okay. We do have, this is actually a fairly hefty item in our annual budget. We have Adobe Stock team subscription. So everybody on our team can access the same, basically bottomless pit of images from there. We provide images in every product, except for those clients that have a master service agreement that says we shouldn't or cannot. We also do audio blocks for music, which is where actually I find the opening music for every podcast here. So every time we have new music, it's because we have a bottomless pit of just awesome resources there. We have video blocks for a lot of video clips. I know Noun Project. Nolan, you actually turned me on to this one.
I did.
I just got the renewal. So yeah, and you mentioned it years ago. I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm like, this is amazing. So I use Noun Project for icons all the time.
That's the best $40 I spend every year.
I'm sure there's some other niche subscriptions
Pexels.
I can't think of, but it's, you know, we don't subscribe to Pexels. I have in the past. I'm not right now.
Okay. I just have it as an add-in in PowerPoint. When I can't find something someplace else, I'll just look there and on the off chance.
Pickett's going to be a part of that conversation I just said we should talk about, because Pickett has the absolute best licensing agreement when you use an image. It's really, really good. So I like them for that. But it is a substantial line item in our budget. We plan it annually that we're going to provide image resources, and I mean, it's, you know, $3,500 at least that we're going to put out there.
Yeah, it's a cost of doing business. I mean, I always say everything's included, you know, well, I have to say certain sites, because if they say, get me that Getty image, it's like, no.
Exactly. Yep.
Speaking of the cost of doing business, I'm going to just kind of interject. Mm-hmm. I won't go through my whole spiel here, but Adobe CC, what is a subscription? Because it's like buying bread. You don't look at the price. You need it, right? So
It depends on who you are and what bread you like.
Yeah. Well, how much is it?
$600 a year, I think, is what I...
It ranges from $29 a month to $89 a month. $29 a month is a student that only usable on one computer. I know this because we're looking at it for our daughter, because we got a new computer for her college years. And I looked at ours out of curiosity. Sandy, to your point, I hadn't looked at ours. I'm like, how is this costing us this much per month all of a sudden? Because we started at $49 and now it's almost double that. So yeah, it's under $100 for everything. But then they also have like a la carte plans, which, you know, they have different levels, but it's basically just think under $100, and it's I think it's pretty mandatory for every designer.
Although a lot of the young kids, I mean, digital designers I hear are using, you know, alternative programs, and I couldn't live without Adobe, but I mean, there are other options. I don't think it makes things easy, but there are other options if you have certain workflows.
Mm-hmm. Just like stock photography, there's a lot of really nice sites out there that do provide limited libraries of free, totally free to use, but they are still royalty free to use in projects legally. But you got to jump through a lot of time and hoops, and it's just, yeah. You know, we find the time is not worth it when I want to move. Okay, Nolan, what do you use? What do you use in that realm? Because I know you don't do Adobe Stock. I use
iStock. I've used them for a few years. I used to use Shutterstock. I've been mostly happy with them, although I find myself using it less than I have because I'm using other things like Unsplash, which is free. And I don't know, maybe also just not using as much stock as I used to. Who knows? Noun Project we talk about. And, you know, Sandy, you had said subscriptions. I guess I start thinking about, we just talked about Adobe. I start thinking about software now. Software never used to be a subscription, but mm-hmm. now more and more software, even small little things, are becoming annual subscriptions versus buy-up.
Of course, Office 365, right?
Yeah.
I guess all of our livelihood off Microsoft is, yeah. It's funny. I didn't even think about that. It is a line item, by the way, but it's under software.
Yeah. So like Icon Jar, which I love, that moved to subscription this year. Clean My Mac moved to subscription. 1Password moved to subscription in the last year or two. And just left and right, that's where everyone's going. So it's a yearly cost now rather than a one-off. Mm-hmm.
Sandy, mm-hmm. where are you at?
Well, I still am using Shutterstock mostly for stock photography. I think they've cleaned up their act in the last 4 or 5 months. They haven't gone on offline randomly like they were doing daily for a while.
Oh yeah, that was a problem.
Oh.
I used until recently a program called Production Tracks for royalty free music and audio files, but they just decided to close shop one day.
We used to use them a while ago. Yeah. They were really good.
I'll have to look into Audio Blocks. That's good. I wasn't sure where I would go, and I hate to just research it because God knows what you're going to run into. Also something.
I have other recommendations on that realm. We use Audio Blocks. I just got locked into it. No, I don't have them offhand, but
okay.
You know, we've used Music Bakery. There's a lot of actually good resources out there, but we're sticking with this one.
I'll probably be in touch. But another subscription that I have, and I don't think many of my colleagues, MVP colleagues, that maybe you'll scoff at this, but I subscribe to Geek Squad. So it's kind of like an HMO. You don't know what that is?
That's Best Buy, right?
That's Best Buy, right. They originally started on their own. There was two guys in a little office in Minneapolis, and now they're huge. But it's like an HMO.
So tell us, I didn't know it was offered on a subscription basis. So tell
us about Geek Squad. It is on a subscription basis. So they, once a month, here's the minimum I do. Once a month, I log in online. I say, do a quick checkup on my computer, see, you know, clean up the temp files, see if there's anything happening. And they do that. That's part of my subscription. So HMO for IT.
So it's like outsourced, it's remote IT services. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I literally did not know that was an option.
I've used them to install a while back. I can't even remember what program it was. It was when I got my Mac and I was trying to, I installed Parallels, and then I was having trouble with Office 365 on the Windows side. So anyway, they've helped me with that kind of stuff. I just don't have the time to troubleshoot IT stuff. So mm-hmm. I can call them anytime. I can chat with them anytime online, and they'll take care of my IT.
That's fantastic.
Problems.
I wish I occasionally had things like when I was setting up when I was having Wi-Fi issues in my house, I was hoping for, wishing for somebody, but that's fantastic.
We subscribe to Jesse. Jesse is our IT manager that handles every request and could not live without, but there is a bit higher price tag than $199 a year.
Jesse.
To have that.
We subscribe. Add okay, that to the notes, Jesse.
Yeah. Do you feel the need to have like subscriptions to one or more of the file transfer / syncing storage services out there?
Well, yeah, we mentioned Office 365, right? So,
oh, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They have storage. I wasn't even thinking in that realm because OneDrive is there.
I'd been on Dropbox for the last 3 years because 3 years ago during a huge conference, I had a lot of problems with OneDrive and I swore I'd never go back. But with all my clients being on Office, not all, but my large corporate clients being on Office 365, it's become more and more important that I not only understand what they're doing, but that I have the ability to maybe share more easily. So I've been getting back to that.
I agree. We've been using OneDrive more. So as example, we subscribe to them all and it's a line item now. We have Dropbox, Box, Hightail.
But do you have them all because your clients are on different ones?
Well, and that's exactly what it is. It's a budget item because we don't want to, you know, we want to work where the clients work. If the client likes Dropbox, mm-hmm. we're going to have Dropbox available. If the client has Box, we're going to have Box available. And a lot of times it's because their IT department has deemed one service mm-hmm. is their one available for their corporate right. structure. Right. And if we don't have it, we get stuck. Now, we do kind of cheat a little. We have them all under a generic email address and everybody on our design team accesses that same account. So we only have one Dropbox Pro account, not nine of them. Now it does mean we have to tell the clients, hey, you have to use this email address to reach us. And, but it shows up in everybody's Outlook and everybody gets it. So we, you know, that's one way to make it a more budget friendly item. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a little tip there, but, yeah, we subscribe to them all. I just gave up on waiting to see, you know, or trying to convince a client what they could use because they'll just say my IT department doesn't allow that.
I'm surprised you go back and forth. I do have some clients on Box and so I guess technically I have an account. I have a free account. I don't pay for it, but I just never like Box. I always seem to have issues with it. It's usually on the client side where they just don't give me access and don't understand how to do that. But I'm Dropbox through and through. I've had it for years. I feel like I live and breathe by it. All my work files are in it, so I can just jump from computer to computer with no problem, and things are backed up. But I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, but maybe it's helpful for people. So Dropbox, which I've been with since, you know, the beginning, and again, love it, can't do it. But they instituted something recently called Smart Sync. Maybe it wasn't
so
recently,
but it's been around for a while, I think, Nolan.
Has it? Okay. So
yeah,
they've always
I've been
had,
using it.
Mm-hmm. They've, well, so not Selective Sync, Smart Sync.
Okay.
So Selective Sync they've had for a long time. Smart Sync is where things only exist in the cloud, but you can see them on your computer. Is that what you use?
No.
I like
both.
That idea. I don't know about it.
It exists both on my desktop and in the cloud. Okay.
Well, yeah. That's Dropbox. That basically. So that's how Dropbox works. You have something in a local folder, and then it's mirrored up in the cloud.
Okay.
But then you could for a long time you could do Selective Sync. So let's say you had multiple computers, but on your laptop, you didn't want all the video files from your Dropbox folder. So you could just go into settings on that laptop and say, don't sync these video files, and they would never even appear. You would never even see them on the laptop. So that was useful because my travel laptop doesn't have to have everything on it. But they created this thing called Smart Sync because people wanted it, where you could have things only in the cloud, but you could pull them down at will, basically meaning you could open up your local folder and you would see the files. Selective
Sync,
you couldn't see them.
PowerPoint.
Exactly, right. They're cloud, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. I moved to my new computer, and usually what I do is I just install Dropbox, connect my account, and step back, and everything just, you know, downloads. But the default now is for it to, quote, download in Smart Sync mode, meaning not everything actually downloaded. So I opened up my folder and I would click on it would show like this file is 20 megabytes, and I'd click on it and either I'd see this little pop-up saying downloading from the cloud. I'd be like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Or I'd double click it and I'd get an error saying we can't open this because there's actually no information here.
Or you're not connected to the internet.
Or
you know,
exactly.
What if you were someplace? Wow.
Exactly. And so it took me a long time to figure out that was happening. On top of that, I had a separate issue where the little sync icons that says, oh, you're synced or this is downloaded or local or whatever, weren't appearing because of a conflict with NX PowerLite of all things, which I fixed. But I got on customer service with Dropbox and it was miserable. They were very friendly, but very unhelpful. in explaining how SmartSync worked. And I was just freaking out because I'd look at, if I did, you know, command I, it would say, oh, your Dropbox folder is, you know, 200 megabytes, knowing that it should be gigs and gigs. And I was moving computers and I'm like, where are all my files? Like, what did it do to them? So anyway, long story short, I think it could be a useful tool if you understand it and really use it, but they're kind of forcing it on people. And it's not my favorite. So that was, anyway, that was my recent experience with Dropbox.
I think I need to preface what I just said earlier about having all the accounts. I'm using them for file transfer only. We're not actually syncing our work project files to them. Oh, this is okay. Only a give files, get files type of scenario, things that are too large for email. As far as the whole syncing and where do we put things, we actually have our own backend server. All computers sync to it. It gets backups. We don't really leverage a lot of syncing of our project files to like a Dropbox mm-hmm. box type of scenario. Mm-hmm. So my use is a little more narrow and limited. That's how we can have multiple people using one. And I'm not jumping back and forth in respect to keeping track of my files. We VPN into our own server and we have everything on a core server so everybody can access there. Your use is probably more practical and normal.
Well, for your size, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense Dropbox is just an easier solution for me. And I do a lot of sharing with it. I love sending out files. I can password protect things and set limits on how long it can be downloaded. So that's how I do file transfer with Dropbox all the time. What about other technology? Anything sort of like more infrastructure technology other than computers and software? What do you use? I mean, what, Troy, you have the largest office. What's your internet setup?
Okay, so internet, I think it should be, we have internet obviously both at the home and the studio offices. We rely on Verizon fiber optic. Correction. It is now Frontier fiber optic because they changed their name and their quality of customer service. Mm. Not for the better. But actually, when we bought the studio space, that was actually one of the four criteria we gave the real estate agent helping us look for a building. It had to be fiber optic, you know, preset so we can have fast internet because, you know, we rely on it. So I think that's a definite line item. And business internet costs like three times as much as a residential internet, even though they're the exact same thing. We have technology dependent field relies on, we have a Spotify premium as a budgeted line item. I like music and Spotify covers that. Sprint for our cell phones. I think that's a technology that everybody, you know, what's your cell phone coverage? We utilize Sprint, unlimited internet.
That. On your cell phones, do you use your phones for hotspots as you travel?
Yes. Okay. I do all the time. Okay. We have unlimited, well, it's not unlimited. It's like 50 gigabytes per month of Wi-Fi connection or, you know, of internet connection to other devices. So we've never hit them. And that's per phone. Oh, you know, the other one for the studio, we have a full business phone system, you know, cool phones at every desk that, you know, they're, we use the phone so little, it's like kind of disappointing to have to pay for them. But we have these, you know, big office ready phones. And anytime I think you get past three people in an office, I think you need a phone system with an auto attendant and the ability to transfer calls to each other, all that. We recently just moved our phone system to a new company called Pulsar 360. They have been great. The service is, I'll just say we're saving over $100 a month and we actually have more phone lines added and they're actually pre-programmed all of our auto attendant. I gave them the structure. I said, here's the, you know, we had a voiceover person do all the announcements and they did all the stuff for us. The phone showed up, we plugged them in and ready to go. It was so, but it's an expense. I mean, it's like a stupid expense considering how little we use phones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what about you guys?
So I was with 8x8 and I'll talk to you more offline about maybe switching.
That's who we were with for several years, and we were just running into some limitations that we didn't like. So,
I've got Verizon Fios for internet and the whole house, AT&T wireless for cell phone, 8x8 for VoIP phones, as I mentioned, and recently switched to Google Mesh Wi-Fi pucks. So Verizon Fios, but the routers, we've been using the Google Wi-Fi and everything, which customer service is great. The app is great. Some people criticize it because you can't go in and, you know, it's not as adjustable or customizable if you're like a real IT head to, you know, change this node to do that or whatever. But honestly, I'm going to get in trouble if I try to do that kind of stuff. So I like it.
I have Mediacom for internet, and that's all I can tell you about it. I have AT&T for my mobile phone. I had Sprint for years and years until they decided to, it was during that time they were expanding their 4G networks. It created a coverage hole in my office space. And I couldn't make calls anymore. So I had to get out of those contracts. But anyway, I've been on AT&T for 3 or 4 years. So that's my discussion about technology in general. But what about, well, let's wrap up, okay? Let's talk about, because we've talked about it before, let's quickly go through just a few minutes on our personal computer and software preferences.
Speed round. Go ahead, Sandy.
Oh, okay. I still use my Surface Studio. I think I got it in 2015, 2016. Anytime I run into any problems, it's software update related. So I love it. I don't use a secondary monitor anymore. It's big enough. It gets me through what I need. I travel with my Surface Book. So if I ever need a secondary monitor, I'll use that. Let's see. Oh, I probably will use it and my iPad mini for my OneNote. I have this long legacy, this long story of trying to decide getting a new planner. I want to be organized. That's my dream in the world, is to be organized every day. So I switch between analog planners, digital planners. Right now, I've set up my OneNote to be my 2020 planner. And I plan on using my Surface Book and or my OneNote, I'm sorry, my iPad for all those planning purposes.
Very cool. I would love to see your planner sometime, because I bet it's got what day you went to the grocery store and which day you have to call the grandkids.
It's really just work focused. So what about you, Troy?
I am Windows based. I use a ThinkPad X1 Extreme, which is basically as close as you can get to a MacBook Pro on the Windows side, in my opinion. It's actually got real Thunderbolt ports. It actually still has USB 3 ports. It's nice and thin. I like that. I have dual 27-inch monitors. You know, I dock it. Everything's under a Thunderbolt dock. So dual 27-inch monitors. I use a Logitech gaming keyboard and mouse because I think they work. Logitech webcam external, because obviously when it's a laptop and docked, it's closed. You can't use that. And I use the ThinkPad or Lenovo Thunderbolt 3 dock. Office 365, we use the business premium plan. It includes PowerPoint, obviously, and all of Microsoft Office. It includes SharePoint, which we use a lot. We just invested heavily in our time over the last half of 2019. That's so odd to say that is in the past. We invested heavily in SharePoint and updating all of that there. So we have all of our internal information and workflows there, and we're starting to move it into more of an app-based thing for internal project tracking. I can't function without a number of our customized PowerPoint add-ins. Maybe in news, Jamie Garrock on New Year's Day sent me a note. Hey, I've upgraded the new version. I was like, stop working. You're making me stay at my computer. Or maybe it was New Year's Eve, actually. He sent me that notice. A couple of new features, some of them that I'm very excited about that we had been talking back and forth. I can't function without Snagit. I rely on Adobe Creative Cloud for Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere, Media Encoder, After Effects, Audition. I added all this stuff, all the audio files here. I think episode 82 covered it in detail. So that's my not very short summary of summarizing. Nolan?
I'll do my speed round. 27-inch iMac 5K with a second cinema display, 13-inch MacBook Air, Surface Laptop 2, Wacom tablet, Magic Mouse, HP, black and white laser jet, which I love, Epson all-in-one color printer, which I hate, Logitech Spotlight Clicker, Time Machine backup to an Apple Time capsule, and a second G drive, plus a Backblaze backup. So three different places, plus Dropbox. So maybe four. Office 365, we talked about Creative Cloud and all that other stuff. Clean My Mac, I mentioned. NX Power Lite, can't live without. And we're there. And I think that's it. So going across the finish line for today's episode. I am too.
Okay, there it is. Our first conversation of 2020. We decided to start the year talking about investing in our design business, what's important, software, hardware, services to include in our annual budget, and suggestions that you should include potentially in your budget. What training and what are important considerations in deciding what's important for your business? Now, we get to spend the rest of the year just focusing on the design side of business and making clients excited about our work. So, see you back here in a couple of weeks for the next episode. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional design studio agency. Check us out. Our online presence is at tlccreative.com. We have the blog at thepowerpointblog.com. And we have not been active, but we will be soon on facebook.com/TLC Creative Services.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of free downloads and goodies. And if your organization is interested in on-site presentation or data viz training, drop me a line or go to nolanhamescreative.com.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as PPTWiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation design conversation. Episode show notes are available on your favorite podcast software or at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for the hosts, or comments through the podcast website. And please share with others. Mention us, leave a review, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. New episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.